It's time to put your outdoor plants to bed and try to wake up some of the indoor plants. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. It's Horticulture Day today. Plant experts Richard Giron from Iowa State University Extension and Cindy Haynes from the ISU Department of Horticulture are here. We'll talk about prepping the garden for winter, mulching the strawberries, covering the roses, and protecting plants from hungry bunnies. Inside the house, you might have a great big green Christmas cactus. Wouldn't it be nice if you could convince it to bloom in time for the holidays? We'll talk about taking care of your holiday plants and picking out new ones as well. You're also welcome to join us with your questions. The number to call is 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk or send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Join the conversation after this news. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Charity Nebbe. It's Horticulture Day today, and horticulturist Richard Giron from Iowa State University Extension and Cindy Haynes, an associate professor in the Iowa State University Department of Horticulture, are both here today. Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having us.
And we are going to start off by talking about prepping the garden for winter. We're also going to talk a little bit about holiday plants. And then later in the hour, we will be taking your calls at 866-780-9100. You can also tweet us at IPR Talk or send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And I guess it really is time to get ready for winter.
It probably is, yes.
The snow is just about to fly. Of course, if you're in northwestern Iowa, the snow has flown already. But what do we need to be thinking about right now?
One thing that I would do if you have a strawberry patch would be to go ahead and get some straw and basically apply 3 to 5 inches of that material over the entire planting. And that's going to protect the plants against the extreme cold and any freezing and thawing that may occur during the winter. And try to get that done by this week if you can. And if you have a very windy site, which you might want to do, is maybe once you have the straw in place, cover that with maybe some chicken wire fencing or hardware cloth, and then put some bricks on it so that it doesn't blow away.
Are there any other kinds of mulches that we could use other than straw, or is straw the most recommended?
Straw would be the best. It should be nice, clean, weed-free straw. You can use chopped corn stalks. Leaves don't really provide a very good mulch. They tend to weigh down heavily with ice and snow, and so they really don't provide the needed protection. So tree leaves are abundant, but they're not very effective.
All right. Are there any other plants in the garden that we should think about mulching right now?
We should mulch some of those perennials that you recently planted this year. Some of them have a tendency to heave or lift through the freeze and thaw cycles, maybe of fall and or spring. So I usually recommend, you know, just taking some landscape mulch and mulching over a top of those a couple of inches once, you know, we've had those couple of hard freezes, just to make sure that they kind of stay in the ground and they're protected.
All right. And again, probably straw?
You could do straw, or you could use that wood chip mulch that has a little bit more weight to it, and there's always those, you know, really inexpensive bags of landscape mulch that you can get right now so that you can put on top of that. I've even seen people just on some coral bells and or a few other things that they planted late in the season just putting a brick on top just to, you know, keep it weighted down so that it doesn't lift.
All right. And how about covering the roses? I know that's another thing that we all need to be thinking about this time of year.
Right. If you have like hybrid tea roses, floribunda roses, you want to take some soil from the garden and basically cover the bottom, let's say, 10 to 12 inches with soil. And if you could do that this weekend or early next week, that should be fine. And that protects the bottom basically from the extreme cold. Soil is a very good insulator, and once in place, should be very, very effective.
Okay, how about rose cones? I know that we always get questions about rose cones.
Yeah, the styrofoam rose cones are very easy, but they're not very effective. And you also have to prune the plants back before you can put the cone on. So the choice as far as cone or soil is a much better protector.
All right. Cones look so easy.
They are easy, yes.
And they're so attractive out in the middle of the landscape as well.
Well, I guess it depends on what you like.
This is true. This is true.
All right. And then the other thing we need to think about this time of year, of course, we will have, once the snow falls, we will have hungry critters up and around. What do you need to do to protect your plants from rabbits in the wintertime?
Yeah, the main problem with the rabbits is that when food is scarce, they look for anything that sticks above the snow or ice. And so any tree or shrub is fair game, especially the smaller trees that have a small trunk and a thin bark. So any small tree, especially apples, crab apples, pears, etc., and a lot of the shrubs, things like the burning bush, very, very commonly browsed on by rabbits. So the best way to protect those is to go out before winter with chicken wire fencing or hardware cloth and place that around plants vulnerable to rabbit browsing and make sure it's high enough. The fence should be at least 2 feet above the ground, maybe as high as 3 feet after last winter.
Yeah.
Because last winter, 2 feet was not enough.
No, it wasn't.
And so you just want to make sure that it's high enough where they can't jump over or climb over the fence. And you may need to pin the bottom down to the ground with some kind of U-shaped landscape pins so they can't crawl underneath the fencing. And you should probably have that in place sometime in the next week or 10 days and leave that in place until probably early April.
Could you use, like, plastic snow fencing?
Well, actually, rabbits will chew through that.
They have done that.
When they're hungry, they'll actually chew through it. So it doesn't really work. It really needs to be metal where they can't really chew through it.
Okay. How about for deer? Can you just extend that fence up and maybe get some protection?
With deer, maybe you could use like plastic netting or something of that type. Mm-hmm. With deer, there's two main problems. You have the deer feeding on evergreen shrubs mainly during the winter months, things like yews and arborvitae. And if you had some type of fencing, you can prevent that. The other thing that you have in the fall of the year is the rubbing on the trunks. And that can be quite destructive on young trees. So you want to have, as far as the rubbing, the best way to prevent that is to basically place three sturdy stakes around the trunk in a triangle about 12 to 18 inches apart. And that way, they cannot reach in there and rub their antlers on the trunk of the tree. That probably should be in place by the end of September and leave that basically until spring.
Also, just as beautiful as a rose cone, probably, in the environment.
Mm-hmm.
But it's wintertime,
right.
So.
You can put little decorations on it, ornaments, and then maybe, you know, bird food or something so that it can be more attractive.
Yeah, you might consider doing a seminar on that.
I'll consider that because I've got several trees that are fenced in my front yard because we've had some deer problems. And, I'll do that. I'll take pictures and I'll send them to you all winter, Cherry.
That sounds
wonderful. So you can see
the
different monthly ornaments.
That's terrific. We'll put that up on our website, too. Well, let's talk a little bit about holiday plants. I know, last year, the year before, maybe years ago, everybody gets tempted by those little Christmas cacti that you see everywhere. And they grow and they're green and they're beautiful. What do you need to do to get a Christmas cactus to bloom?
Well, Christmas cacti are a lot like poinsettias. They're a short day plant. So photo period is the first trigger to get them to bloom. So they need that long night, that long dark night, and the short day. But they're a little more forgiving than a poinsettia in the fact that a cool night temperature, so those cooler nights that we start to have will kind of override that. So the combination of the short photo period or short day length and the cool night temperatures usually help initiate some blooms on the holiday cactus. Richard and I were just talking before the show. There are several different types of holiday cactus out there and hybrids between them. And they're all just a little bit different and sometimes require slightly different environments. But usually indoors, in a home, near a window, maybe where you don't have a lot of the lights on at night, so put it in a guest window, they generally bloom sometime between Thanksgiving and Easter.
Sometime. That's the key.
Sometimes they have their own agenda. So they decide when they're going to bloom. Richard has some in bloom right now.
Right. Several. So, and they're in basically a room that I don't really use at night. But one does get some light from the hallway, and so half the plant is blooming and the other half is not.
Oh, interesting.
And the plant, the half that isn't blooming is the one that's getting the light from the hallway.
Right.
So that long, dark night is pretty important.
So we got an email from somebody who said on the directions, when you buy a Christmas cactus, mm-hmm. it says fertilize as needed. How do you know when it's needed?
It's a little tricky.
That's quite vague.
That is a little vague. Usually I tell most people, most houseplants don't need a lot of fertilizer during the winter. So you can skip it, except for those that have been blooming. Holiday cactus or Christmas cactus, once they're through blooming, that's usually a good time to give them one or two doses of fertilizer and water or slow release, just to kind of, you know, get it started. Kickstart a little bit of growth, maybe in late winter or early spring.
All right. And I know you have an extension publication about Christmas cacti.
Yes.
So we'll actually post that on our Facebook page today.
Awesome.
And we'll also put up a link to that on Twitter. But of course, you can search for it on your own as well. There are many, many extension publications that we can all get step-by-step instructions from. What about some of the other holiday plants? Now, I know that keeping your own poinsettia mm-hmm. and getting poinsettia to bloom for Christmas is extremely difficult. But if you're at the store and you're picking out this year's poinsettia mm-hmm. plants, how do you pick one that's really going to last?
Look for one that's brightly colored leaves, that doesn't look like it's bruised or battered. I also look for one that has a lot of green foliage at the bottom, so that it's, you know, got this full complement of leaves. You can't see through it, I guess is a good way to describe it. And then I look at them really closely at the center of those colorful bracts, and look for the true flowers, which are these little yellow dots in the center. And I like to keep those small and tight. They're not open yet. You know, they look fairly immature, but they're yellow. That's what you look for, because those true flowers will tell you how long that plant will last. Because when they start to fade in the center, then the rest of the plant will fade fairly quickly after that.
And what do you need to do to take care of them once you get them home?
Well, obviously, before taking them into or taking them outside of the store, you need to protect them. So protect them when they go outside, because they're very sensitive to cold temperatures and wind. Then place them indoors in a well-lit, bright location, maybe away from direct light and away from those drafts, so from the vent that's got a hot draft or cold draft, not too close to a window or to a door. And then water them when needed. So when the top starts to dry out, water it well until water exits the entire pot. Don't let them sit in water for long periods. And believe it or not, they'll last through February, sometimes even to St. Patrick's Day.
Okay, wonderful. And then we'll talk after the break. We'll talk briefly about, I know a lot of people are tempted to try to make their poinsettias bloom again the next year because they were so beautiful the first year. So we'll talk briefly about what might be involved in that as well. It's Horticulture Day on Talk of Iowa. You're welcome to join us with your questions at 866-780-9100. My guests today are Richard Geron and Cindy Haynes from Iowa State University. This is Talk of Iowa. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. It is Horticulture Day today, and my guests are Richard Geron, Iowa State University Extension Horticulturist, and Cindy Haynes, an associate professor in the Iowa State University Department of Horticulture. We're talking right now about holiday plants, and we will talk more about holiday plants in a moment, but you're also welcome to join our conversation with your questions. The number to call is 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email to Talk of Iowa at iowapublicradio.org. And Ryan is on the line from Dubuque. Hello, Ryan. Hi, Ryan. Can you hear me?
Hello.
Hi, what's your question?
Hi, I bought a dwarf rose bush plant late in the fall, and I didn't get it in the ground. So how do I care for it over the winter? How much water and sun, and do I need to prune it?
Okay.
Stuff like that.
So you basically have like a miniature rose?
Yeah, it's a miniature rose.
Okay.
And it's still in the container that I bought it in.
Okay.
Should I repot it?
Well, you basically have two options. One is to bring it inside and treat it as a house plant. Put it in a sunny window, like a south window or a west window. Keep it well watered through the winter. Maybe fertilize once, maybe twice a month, with a dilute fertilizer solution. And it should grow. It should survive, maybe bloom a little bit. And then you can bring it outside in the spring. So that's one option. The second option would be to actually dig a hole outside in the ground in a protected location, place a pot in the ground, and then once in the ground, basically cover the entire plant with soil, and then leave that in place until spring. Then remove the soil in April, and then you can set the pot wherever you want to. At that point, if you decide you want to repot, that would be a good time once you dig it out of the ground.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot for your call, Ryan. And you can join us at 866-780-9100. We've got another rose question from Carver in Ames. He says, these roses are still green. When can I safely cut them back? Can I do that now, or do I need to wait until some colder temperatures, which actually cause the leaves to die?
We normally prune those back in early spring, so we don't normally prune them in the fall unless we're using those styrofoam rose cones. Otherwise, we just leave them. And if they are a hybrid T or a floribunda, much of the area above the protected bottom will winter kill. It's going to turn brown, but that's okay as long as the bottom is still alive. So as far as pruning, we typically do that in early spring.
And we wait to prune until spring because maybe we can take a look at where it's going to regrow in the spring. Because if we have a mild winter, it might actually survive a little bit above that soil line, and you would have a bigger rose to start off with.
Okay, so focus on the base of the plant.
Yeah. Right, protecting that.
And we could have a mild winter, Cindy.
We could have a mild
winter. It's happened before.
We have in the past.
We have in the past. Right. I'm hoping for one this year.
All right. Next up, we've got Barbara on the line from Roland. Hello, Barbara.
Hi. I have a question about indoor plants and a couple plants that I've brought indoors. On the two indoor plants, we got them from greenhouses, and a couple months after I got them, I noticed little white fuzzy bugs on them, and I wasn't sure what to do, so I just took a Q-tip, dipped it in alcohol, and touched the bugs, and you know, that took care of the bugs I saw, but periodically they reappear. And I'm wondering, I know in the past you've kind of talked about a little homemade remedy of spraying on the plants.
Well, if those little white fuzzy things are basically where the leaf stalk is attached to the stem, kind of in that little crevice there, those are probably mealy bugs. Mm-hmm. And they're extremely hard to control, extremely hard. And you can go after them with a Q-tip and some alcohol, but they will lay eggs, and so those eggs will hatch, and then they'll reappear.
Right.
The first thing I think I would do would be to quarantine that plant. Put it in a room by itself so it can't get to other plants. If you have them with other plants, if they touch, they could go from plant to plant to plant. So I think I'd quarantine that and then try the cotton swab and alcohol, and possibly spray them periodically also with insecticidal soap. You can buy that at most garden centers and other retailers, and I would use that rather than mixing up your own soapy solution. I would just buy the insecticidal soap and follow directions on the label.
What's it called again?
Insecticidal soap.
Oh, insecticidal soap.
Right.
Okay. Well, I don't know if both of the plants came that way or one infected the other, but I have isolated them from each other as well as my other house plants.
Good thing, yes.
And now I'm brought in two geranium plants that are really doing quite well, and I don't want them to have brought bugs in or get bugs. So should I use the insecticidal soap on them too?
I don't really think you have to. You might bring a few things in as far as maybe a few millipedes or sow bugs, and they'll crawl out of the pot. And if they do, you basically just go after them with a dustpan and a broom and just sweep them up and throw them outside.
Okay.
So that's an occasional thing. But normally you don't bring a lot in with geraniums as far as insect pests, so that shouldn't be a major problem.
Okay. Great.
Barbara, thanks so much for your call.
Thanks a lot.
Let's talk, because we promised we would, let's talk a little bit more about poinsettia. So what does it actually take to get a poinsettia ready for the holidays?
To get it to rebloom?
Yeah.
Now, I would compost it, but Cindy has another thought.
No, I would compost it as well, actually. I usually compost mine by March. But to get it to rebloom, to go for this challenge, and it is a little bit of a challenge, you keep your poinsettia alive, of course, throughout the winter. In the spring and the summer, after frost, you put it outside in a shady but bright location so that it gets plenty of sun. You water and fertilize it. You can cut it back at this time that you take it out, because it will double practically in size. And then about September, you start to prep it for coming back inside. So you're going to bring it in before frost. And usually the first week in October, we recommend that you have to initiate those short days. So you have to give it the long nights, sun in the during the day, but from about 5 or 6 o'clock in the afternoon until about 8 o'clock the next morning, it needs to be in complete darkness.
So you actually physically need to move the plant every
You need to put a box over it. You need to put it in a closet. You need to put it in a room that's in complete darkness. And you do this every day for anywhere from 6 to 10 weeks, depending on the cultivar. So, and you don't get a day off. You do this until the bracts or the top of the plant starts to color up and has good color.
If you go away for the weekend, you're lost?
It could inhibit or delay, yes. So if you put it in a window that, at night there won't be any lights that come on inside, you're fine. And that's what some people do, is they'll put it in a guest bedroom that they know they're not going to be using in October and November. So it has natural photo period, so it gets the typical daylight, but then at night it's dark, and then it's perfect.
So it's almost like adopting a child.
It's a time commitment right. In October and November to really make sure that it has the right light and the right photo period, because that pollution from the hallway or from another room is just enough to delay it so that it might bloom in, February instead of Christmas, which a poinsettia is pretty, but it's not as effective in February as it is for Christmas.
And it's one of those plants that really keeps professional greenhouses in business.
It does, and it's well worth it.
After
doing this one year.
Have you done it?
I have. I took on the challenge, I think, when I was an undergrad, and I swore I'd never do it again. I'd buy my poinsettias every year.
All right. You can call us with your questions at 866-780-9100. Tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. We do have a question from Twitter today. How to perk up a sagging jade plant? Any suggestions?
Mm-hmm. If it's sagging, it might actually be getting a little too much water. I would check the soil. Jade's a succulent that likes to be a little bit on the dry side. So if it's a little bit too moist, it will kind of wilt a little bit and sag a little bit. I've also seen it do this if it had too much fertilizer.
Also make sure it gets direct sun.
Yeah.
They do want direct sun. In indirect light, they may get a little bit saggy.
Mm-hmm. So find that south or west-facing window.
All right. Michelle is on the line from Van Horn. Hello, Michelle.
Hello. I have a corkscrew willow that my mother gave to me quite a while back. It's about 25, 30 feet high, and because winter is hard on it, I would like to have a baby corkscrew willow. I've looked on the ground. I don't see any. How do I propagate it?
You can do that very easily next spring. So I would go out probably in early March, and I would cut off small little branches about pencil size in thickness, maybe several feet long, bring them inside, and then cut those down to maybe 12 to 15 inches in length. And then you can put those in a plastic bag and add some lightly moistened peat moss, and then place them in the refrigerator.
Really?
And leave them there for about a month. Take those out in early April, as soon as the ground is workable, and then place them in the ground. Well, you stick them in the ground and bury the bottom at least 4 to 6 inches in the soil and keep them moist. And willows root very quickly. So the reason that you're going to cut these in March is to keep the branches dormant. So it takes a while for them to leaf out in the spring. So if you take them in March, put them in the refrigerator, they're staying dormant. And when you put them in the ground in April, they won't leaf out for a few weeks, which allows them to develop some roots before they leaf out.
Okay, so I'll cut a pencil-sized a twig off in March and have it 12 to 15 inches, put it in a plastic bag with damp peat moss, and then for a month, you say?
For about a month, and then as soon as the ground is workable in April, take them out of the refrigerator and put them in the ground. There's another way of doing that. You could just take a branch off the tree and put it in a vase with some water, and oftentimes they'll root that way too. So you could try that also.
All right. Well, I'm going to give it my best shot, but I might call you next year. Thanks.
It's pretty easy with willows.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot for your call, Michelle, and good luck with that. You can call with your questions at 866-780-9100. Tweet us at IPR Talk or send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And we did get an email. Of course, you knew this was coming. This is from Beth in Osceola, and she says, I'm here in defense of the poinsettia. I keep mine from year to year as foliage plants on one of our decks. I bring them in before frost, put them in a cool room that's dark. They're starting to show color right now, and they'll be joined by another big plant. She closes with, save the poinsettia, four exclamation points. So there are both sides to every story.
The nice thing about that is if you can save it and repeat it year after year, it gets bigger and bigger. And you can have one, you know, twice, three times the size of what you bought the year before. And you can make poinsettia trees and prune them up to lots of different shapes, and you can have a lot of fun with it.
Well, and I guess if you are into saving poinsettias, you could have as many as you wanted if you wanted to take them home from offices or other places before they're thrown out after the holidays.
This is true.
All right. We've got Gary on the line in Cedar Rapids next. Hello, Gary. Oh, sorry. There we go. Hello, Gary.
I've got a question for you. I believe my issue is coming from potting soil. My wife had replanted a tropical plant, and we noticed quite a few short worms. They're about an inch long and adult size, and they have a gazillion legs on them. And I've tried all kinds of insecticides. It doesn't seem to work. And then I resorted to regular bug spray, and that finally killed them. But I noticed I have they've infected another plant. What can I do? These bugs, when you disturb them, they play dead. And then when you touch them, they curl up into almost a perfect circle.
Yeah, they sound like a millipede, which are fairly common. We see them outdoors, and they feed on the decaying organic matter. And sometimes they'll wander inside. And usually inside, they'll die within a fairly short time because it's too dry inside. And when they die, when they do die, they kind of curl up into a tight ball.
Correct.
As far as in a pot, I'm sure they're feeding on the organic matter in the potting soil. And there might be two ways to approach that. One would be maybe to water less frequently, allowing the potting soil to dry out fairly nicely before you water again, because the millipedes like moist, decaying material, and keeping it moist constantly creates an environment that's quite favorable for them. So maybe letting it dry out a little bit before you water again might be helpful. The other possibility would be to go ahead maybe and repot them and make sure that you use a potting mix that drains very, very well, that doesn't tend to stay wet like some do.
Right.
And if you use a good quality, well-drained potting mix, that may help too.
Right. I know the mix that she was using was one of the inexpensive brands.
Yeah, they tend to stay very, very wet. They don't dry out very nicely. So I think I would pay the extra for a better quality mix.
Right. But there's nothing I can put on them to actually rid them?
I don't really think so, no.
All right. Thanks a lot for your call, Gary.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much.
All right. Thank you. And maybe you can develop an interest in millipedes. Maybe that might help. Then we have time for just one more email before we get to our break, and then we'll get back to callers. And Jane wants to know, do I remove the leaves of my hostas that have died back, or should they be left to protect the plant for the wintertime? Here's a different question. So let's do the hosta question first.
The hosta question, she can remove the leaves now if she wants. They are dead, and they don't really protect the plant much. Or she can be lazy and remove them next spring, either or.
All right. And she also wants to know, is it all right to trim back my spirea now, especially if they're in an area that the snow is piled in during the winter?
The best time would be late winter, early spring, March, early April.
All right. Even though they may be covered by snow by then, it sounds
right.
Like. All right. You can join our conversation at 866-780-9100. Tweet us at IPR Talk or send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. It's horticulture today on Talk of Iowa. And my guests are Cindy Haynes. She's an associate professor in the Iowa State University Department of Horticulture, and Richard Giron, a horticulturist with Iowa State University Extension. This is Talk of Iowa. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe, and it is Horticulture Day today. With me are Richard Giron, a horticulturist from Iowa State University Extension, and Cindy Haynes, an associate professor in the Iowa State University Department of Horticulture. And you're welcome to join us with your questions at 866-780-9100. Tweet us at IPR Talk. Send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And Hazel from Iowa City has a suggestion about something we talked about earlier. Hello, Hazel.
Yeah, hi. I was going to tell you, a few years ago, I had this problem with the bugs and the little furry stuff, and my house plants, the big the big green stuff with leaves and stuff. So anyway, I let this one, especially that was I think the guilty one, and I let it dry out a little. And once it dried out, I took off the I took it away from its dirt, and I put it in a big pan pot, sort of a pan, big pan, and I covered it with water. And so after the first day, the little stuff was at the top. And I cleaned the water out, cleared the water out, put some new water in. And that happened for about 3 or 4 days. And when it was clear, I replanted it, and it was fine.
Okay,
I found that was the only way to kill those things, because I had tried all kinds of stuff.
So you drowned them.
Yeah.
And the plant was really happy and green and, was loved the bath.
All right. Well, thank you for your call,
okay.
Hazel.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Have you ever heard of that solution before?
Well, I have had houseplants that had a lot of insects or mealybugs, and I tipped them under water, in a 5-gallon bucket to kind of drown the bugs a little bit, maybe with some insecticidal soap. So, yes, I've heard of it before, but maybe not to that extreme. But it sounded like it worked.
Extreme bugs call for extreme measures.
This
I guess.
True.
If you have a question, give us a call at 866-780-9100. We've got another rose question here. This is from Crystal in Coralville. She says, I have a rose bush that I have a question about. I'm unsure of the kind, but recall from the tag that it specified it was a hardy type that didn't need much care to get through Iowa winters. This summer, the rose grew very tall to around 5 feet, but not very wide. I'm concerned about leaving it over at this height, as it won't be very protected and may damage it over the winter. Is it okay to prune it back at this point, or is there anything else I should do if I shouldn't prune it?
What you could do maybe is tie it up with some twine, where you maybe attach the twine to the base of one of the canes and then kind of wrap it around the plant, so at least the plant is somewhat confined. It's not being whipped by the wind, which might cause some damage. And I would just leave it as that.
Mm-hmm.
If it is a shrub-type rose, the shrub-type rose is only typically bloom about once a year, typically late May or June. And so if it's a old-fashioned shrub rose, they are perfectly hardy. They really need no winter protection. If they bloom throughout the growing season, from late May through June, July, and August into September, then that is probably a modern rose, like a hybrid tea or a floribunda. And most of those do need some winter protection to make sure they don't winter kill completely. So then we pile some soil around the base of the plants.
Okay, well, I hope that helps. And we have another email. This one's about redbud sprouts. We have a couple of them that we'd like to transplant to a different location. Is it too late in the season to do that? We live in Des Moines.
Yeah, I would wait and do that very early next spring, as soon as the ground is workable, before they have a chance to leaf out. They have a fairly deep root system, but go out and dig them up, move them, and replant those immediately, and they should be fine. If they're small, let's say 4 or 5 feet or shorter, they should transplant fairly easily.
Okay, and they also have another question. Is it too late to plant other trees that could be purchased from nurseries this time of year?
It's getting kind of late. Mm-hmm. In theory, possibly you could, but I don't think I would take the risk at this point. I would typically like to have evergreens in the ground by mid to late September, and the deciduous trees in the ground by the end of October.
Okay, so even if it's a really good sale,
mm-hmm. I would probably just leave it.
All right. Next up, we've got Richard on the line in Iowa City. Hello, Richard.
Hello.
Hi.
I grew some leeks this year, and I'm getting ready to take them out of the ground. And I was wondering if you could give me any suggestions on how I can keep the leeks, preserve them for our use during the winter.
Well, your best bet may actually be to cover them with some straw in the garden, where you might go out with some chicken wire fencing or something of that nature, place that around the leeks, and then cover the area with like a foot or so of straw. And that will keep the ground from freezing, should keep them in good shape. The other option would be to harvest them and then bring them inside and put them in the refrigerator.
Now, a friend told me, put them in a plastic bucket, cover them with a plastic bag, and just sit them in the garage where it's cool. Would that suffice as well as putting them in the refrigerator?
Well, I think if the quantity is fairly small, I think I'd probably use a refrigerator because the temperature there would be very constant.
Right.
And the garage is going to vary quite a bit depending on the weather outside.
Right.
And so I don't think they're going to store as well in the garage. So if you have the space, I'd put them in the refrigerator.
Okay. Well, listen, thank you very much.
Thanks a lot for your call, Richard.
You bet.
Next up, we've got Jan in Des Moines. Hello, Jan.
I've got two potted ornamental grass plants. They're in those paper mache pots. We had mm-hmm. them decorating our patio. And I kept thinking I should get them in the ground so we can save them over the winter. And they're still sitting in their pots on the patio. And I'm wondering what I can do. Is it too late to put them in the ground? What can I do to save them till, keep them going through the winter?
They've been outside all fall, right?
What's that?
They've been outside all fall?
They've been outside all they're still outside. Yes.
Right. So they're fairly well acclimated. What I would do is if the ground is still workable, so I would just go plant them in the pots in the ground this week.
Okay.
And then you can, in the spring dig them up if you want and put them back on your patio or repot them or plant them to another location in your landscape.
Very good. So just pot and all right in the ground.
You can do pot and all right in the ground.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thanks a lot for your call. If you have a question, 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. Send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Al is on the line from Fairfield. Hello, Al.
Hi. I was wondering if crocuses that I happened to buy a couple of weeks ago from someone can be planted this time. It's getting a little cold here, but...
No.
And that was one question.
Right. As long as the ground is not frozen, you can mm-hmm. plant them. It's getting a little bit late, and you don't have much time left, so I would do it as soon as you can.
Okay. And I was wondering, with regard to fruit trees that I planted this last spring, should I mulch around them as winter's coming now?
The main thing that I would do, I wouldn't worry about the mulch. I would worry about the rabbits. So make sure you have something around the trunks.
Okay. Okay.
You could use the plastic white vinyl strips that go around them.
Or fencing.
Or fencing, hardware cloth, chicken wire fencing. But make sure the rabbits don't get after them. That's the main threat. I wouldn't worry about mulching. We mainly mulch to conserve moisture and to control weeds and to keep the lawnmower away. So that's not a big concern at this point. The rabbits are a big concern.
Okay. One last one. I had a strawberry plant that I, you know, a hanging plant that I got this last summer as well. Can it still go in? Can it be transplanted into the ground at this point?
It's growing in a pot.
It was.
It's or is?
Drooping over.
Okay. I think what I'd probably do is again, find a location outdoors somewhere that's fairly protected, dig a hole, and set the pot partially in the ground, and then maybe cover that with a lot of straw or pine needles.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks a lot for your call, Al.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. We have another bulb question, since Al was asking about bulbs. This is from Barb in the Iowa City area. She says, I live in a condo, so I don't have flower beds, but I do have a patio with lots of containers. I'm thinking about planting tulip bulbs in a good-sized container. Do you have any thoughts or suggestions on that? And then she adds that I do have an unheated and enclosed winter screen porch. If left outside, I could put it in a sheltered area.
And that might be the best. If she, to get bulbs to bloom, they have to be cool, usually, you know, around, say, 40 degrees if we're going to force them in containers, and really not get too much below freezing. And in a container that's sitting outside, I would worry that it would get too cold over the winter. So I would try it, if she has them, maybe in the container and bring it into the screened-in porch and hope that it doesn't really get below freezing and it might work.
Or well, if you have a space in the refrigerator.
Right.
That works great where it's consistently just above freezing.
That's what I was just going to ask about. Mm-hmm. So you can force bulbs and she could just plant them in the springtime.
Right. She could plant those in a pot. She could water them in. She could stick them in the refrigerator for 12 to 16 weeks, then bring them out and put them on the patio or deck, whatever.
If you want to force them, you need to put them in the soil to put them in the refrigerator?
Yes, you do, because during that period, well, the cool temperatures actually initiate flower development, which allows the bulb to flower, but also we have root development. So they develop a nice, good root system during that time. So those two things are occurring during that cool period.
Okay, and if she wanted to do that in, you're talking about the screened-in porch, that might work. If somebody wanted to try that in a remote corner of the basement or part of the garage, do you think that might work out?
As long as the temperature is around 40, that's the key. If it's too warm, it's not going to work. If it gets extremely cold like it might outside, the actual bulbs may get so cold that it may actually destroy them. So those are the concerns.
All right, it's not easy.
No.
It can be, but you have to have the right conditions.
Okay. It's easy if it's perfect.
If you have a second refrigerator, it's easy.
All right. Mary Ann gave us a call at 866-780-9100 from Dubuque. Hello, Mary Ann.
Yeah. Hi.
What's your question?
I have a question about a blueberry that I have in a terracotta pot, a blueberry bush. You've been talking about burying the pot with the plant, and I'm worried about the terracotta pot. So I wonder, with a blueberry bush, if I could just put it in the garage or if it would be too dark.
Well, the key there is not the darkness per se, it's the temperature. When they go dormant, they're basically fine. They could go in the dark and they'll be okay. But the problem potentially would be the temperature. And in many garages, the temperature varies quite a bit during the wintertime. And if we have a fairly mild period, it may get fairly warm in that garage, and then it may break bud and start to leaf out, which would be a huge problem. So that, to me, would be the biggest problem, would be the temperatures. They would tend to fluctuate quite a bit in that garage, and that may be a problem.
Would the basement get cold enough? Would the basement be an option, or what do you recommend?
Well, what you're looking for is a location where the temperatures would be fairly consistent, let's say from the mid-20s to the low 40s. If you have a place where the temperatures would stay in that range during the winter months, that should be okay. But it can't get, let's say, down to zero or below, and you can't have temperatures above 50. So,
well, unfortunately, there's no room in my refrigerator for the blueberry bush.
That's not going to work, no.
Do you recommend just burying the terracotta pot then with the bush in it? Would that work?
That would be a possibility. Where you kind of bury that in the ground and just leave it outside. Yeah, that might be a possibility. But if you can find somewhere, if your garage does fit where the temperatures are in the 20s, 30s, low 40s, that would be okay.
Yeah, I don't think it would be consistent. I guess I'll try burying it. Thank you so much.
Good luck.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Lynn is up next, probably our last caller of the day from Ames. Hello, Lynn.
Yes.
Hi, what's your question?
I had a question. Kind of late in the season, I bought some bulbs because they were reduced. They were called Peruvian daffodils. Mm-hmm. I planted them. They had great foliage, but not a blossom on them. I brought them in, and I wondered if I should plant them next year. Would there be hope of flowers?
Maybe, maybe not. With bulbs, it's all about, you know, treating that foliage well and getting a lot of good photosynthates and making sure that it puts that photosynthate back into the bulb. So it's the size of the bulb, whether or not it's going to flower or not. The fact
they
that
produced
it,
a lot of side small bulbs.
Yeah, and it may take those side or small bulbs a couple of years, actually, to reach size or suitable size that they're actually going to bloom. What worries me is that it didn't really bloom the first year.
Right.
Usually, if it doesn't bloom the first year, it's a good indication that it may not bloom well the next year, because usually you buy bulbs of a decent size that are bloomable size.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay.
I would give it another go, give it one
all
more
right.
go, because that's what gardeners do. They try again and again.
One more chance.
One more chance. And
one more chance and then compost.
And then compost if it doesn't work.
All right. Thank you.
All right, Lynn, thank you so much for your call today. And this is the last regular horticulture show that we're going to be doing for the wintertime as we're all putting the gardens to bed. So starting this week, I guess, we're going to go every other week. You won't hear Hort Day next Friday, but you will the Friday after that. And, of course, the horticulture answer line is always available, right, Richard?
Always, yes. Well, Monday through Friday, I would say.
Well, but not this Thursday and Friday, or coming Thursday and Friday.
Right.
We have that off.
We'll take it all back. But why don't you give us the number? Because there is an answering machine.
Well, the normal hours are from 10 to 12 and 1 to 4:30, Monday through Friday. And the phone number is 515-294-3108.
All right. So if you have questions, you can call the answer line. But, of course, we will be on the air with Horticulture Day every other week. So you can save your questions up, too, if they're not too urgent. But Richard and Cindy, thank you so much for being here today.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Have a wonderful Thanksgiving.
You too.
Richard Duran is a horticulturist with Iowa State University Extension. Cindy Haynes is an associate professor at the Iowa State University Department of Horticulture. Talk of Iowa is produced by Dennis Reese. Our executive producer is Jeff Schmidt. Production assistance today from Lindsay Moon. Technical support from Russell Mansky in Ames today. You can send us email anytime with your questions or your comments, suggestions for things you'd like to hear on the show. Our email address is talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. I'm Charity Nebbe, and coming up Monday on Talk of Iowa, we'll take a look at the history of the mighty Mississippi before it was tamed. Talk of Iowa is a production of Iowa Public Radio News.